Grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Our text for our meditation on God's Word today is the second lesson appointed for today, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 11 to 18. And dear brothers and sisters in the faith, just a little bit before our second lesson for today, in chapter 2 of 1 Corinthians, St. Paul wrote to the Christians in the church of Corinth, and he said this to them. He said, I resolved and made a decision to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Now, that was a conscious decision on Paul's part. It was a ministry decision. He said, we're going to stay on one topic. We're going to get rid of everything that distracts from that topic. No going down deer paths. We're going to stick with Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And you can understand why, probably. If you don't have Jesus Christ, what do you have? Yeah, you have nothing. You don't have Christianity, not even a start of it without Jesus. His name's in the Word. But if you don't have Jesus Christ and Him crucified, you also don't have Christianity. Doesn't matter how wonderful your religion seems to be, how profound, how deep, how mystical. It doesn't matter how decorated your life is with morals and commandments and good deeds and such things. Doesn't matter one bit, because Jesus is the whole house. He is the foundation. He is the walls. He is the roof. He is electricity. Everything else. Today's lesson speaks about a house. And if you've ever bought a house, or if you own a house, sooner or later you are going to, and we'll put it this way, sooner or later you're going to discover things. You will discover things. Now, we have discovered things about our house. Our house is nothing that outstanding, just standard issue subdivision. But as we've lived there over the years, we have come to realize that our house was, maybe we'll put it this way, quick built. It was quick built. Now, you understand why. Profit margins are tight. Builders are on a tight schedule. Things get quick built. But when things are quick built, what happens? Sooner or later, down the road, things began to show themselves. You begin to discover things. Something goes wrong, and it's not something you can fix, perhaps, but the tradesman comes over and they take a look. They get up on the roof, or they go down in the crawl space, or they run a camera through the sewer line, whatever it is, and they get done with their test, and the thing that they say to you always begins the same way. They say, well, I don't mean to criticize, but whoever did this, now you fill in the blank, whoever did this wired it the wrong way. Whoever did this sure didn't know much about plumbing. Whoever did this didn't prime the bare wood before they put on the paint, that's why everything's peeling off. Whoever did this used plastic vents on the roof instead of metal ones, and that's why they're cracking in the sunlight and you got leaks through your ceiling. Whoever did this put in the wrong diameter vent pipe. Whoever did this didn't follow code. And my favorite one, whoever did this ought to have their head examined. Now, for full disclosure, I'm just talking about our house. I'm not talking about yours. We haven't got there yet. But by your laughter, I can tell that you have been there. You know, there's a great advantage to having something quick built, and the advantage is what? It's built quick. That's the advantage. You look around in our neighborhood or our area here, and what do you see? You see apartment complexes going up all over the place, and one day you're driving by, it's a grassy field. Next time you drive by, you go, wow, where'd all that come from? It all got built very quickly. It's nice to have things built quickly, but there's a downside to it. And the downside is the hidden costs, the things that don't show themselves right away, the bills that are going to come due, not today, but sometime down the road because it wasn't done right in the first place. And you learn the hard way that quick built is wonderful, but even better than quick built is what? Well built. Well built. Do it right the first time. I think years back I told you the story of a pastor friend of mine, this is back east, who was going through all kinds of problems in his congregation. We were good friends, but every time I would see him at a pastor's conference, ask him how he was doing, his head would kind of drop. And it just seemed like in his church they were having one problem after another. There was quarreling and contention and gossiping and people running each other down, and there were factions and agendas and squabbles over money and people being vengeful and bitter and vindictive, and there was suspicion and distrust and hatred. I'm sure a few folks stormed out of meetings. All kinds of things going all in one place. And I asked him about that, and he said, I think it was something that's got started years back. We had a predecessor of mine who had his heart set on something. His heart was set on having the biggest Lutheran church in the city. And in order to do that, they came up with some new membership requirements. And the new membership requirements were not be confirmed, confess your faith, be baptized, be instructed, all those sorts of things so many of us are familiar with. The new membership requirements were just show up. Just show up to church, and basically, you're a member. And a lot of people showed up. It was quick built. But people brought with them so much baggage that after a while, there was no way to sort it out anymore. On paper, it looked wonderful. On paper, it looked like there were so many great numbers of people coming to church, but eventually the bills came due, and all the seeds that were planted sprouted out to be weeds. Today's lesson, St. Paul had a great concern for his congregation, one of the ones that he started, the congregation of Corinth. He had started it, he laid the foundation. And he said in chapter 2, he said of 1 Corinthians, he said, I made a decision that I will know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And then he explains it in today's lesson. He says, because no other foundation is a person able to lay alongside of the one that has been laid, which is Jesus Christ. And so far, so good. Jesus is the foundation. But as happens, Paul was called to another church, another place, another field of work. And as was to be expected, other people took over the reins at Corinth, and that's good, that's the way that it should be. But they began building on the foundation, and the question was, what are you building? Is it quick built, or is it well built? Now, on paper, it looked good. It looked like the church in Corinth was going and growing. But St. Paul was starting to hear reports that maybe things weren't as well built as they could be. Maybe we were choosing quick built over well built. And this is what he said. He said, it's been reported to me by Chloe's people, I guess that's a family in the congregation, by Chloe's people that there's quarreling among you. What I mean is, each one of you says, well, I follow Paul, or I follow Apollos, or I follow Cephas, that's Peter, or I follow Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? What was beginning to happen in the congregation was it didn't matter how you acted. Didn't matter how you behaved. All that mattered was you said, I believe in Jesus. And we're good to go. And what was happening in the congregation was that there were competitions among the people as to who was the most faithful, who was the most spiritual, who was the most enlightened, who was the most knowledgeable. There began to be an emphasis on speaking in tongues and prophetic powers and understanding mysteries and knowledge and dynamic faith and big contributions and boatloads of good singing and great music and courageous confessions of faith. All of those things from 1 Corinthians chapter 13. But there was something missing. What was it? Where was the broken and contrite heart that God does not despise? Where was the person who was humble and contrite of heart before God and who trembled at his word? Where was the person who said, Lord Jesus, have mercy on me, a sinner? Where were the genuine marks of the Christian faith? Not human activity and all of that show and the great deeds and the speeches that dazzle the eyes of the people. Not a quick-built church of wood and straw and sticks, but instead, what's missing, Paul says? Where is Jesus? For no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, quoting from today's lesson, if anyone builds on that foundation, not off the foundation, not next to the foundation, if anyone builds on that foundation with gold or silver or precious stones or wood or hay or straw house, each one's work will become manifest. Three of those things are solid and precious things. Three of those things are very temporary and burn up in an instant. He says it will become manifest what their work is because the day will disclose it. Sooner or later you discover it. It will be revealed by fire when everything is destroyed by fire and only the things of God remain. That fire will test what sort of work each person has done. Now, if the work that anyone has built on the foundation survives, they will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned up, they will suffer loss, although they themselves will be saved, but only through the fire. Do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit lives in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, in other words, by making it quick built rather than well built, if anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him. For God's temple is holy, and you as his people are that temple. So, let no one deceive himself. If anyone among you thinks he's wise in this age, let him become a fool, that he may become wise. We know the world that we live in, and the world that we live in likes to see quick built. It likes to see things going up fast and looking wonderful, at least on the surface. But a Christian person always has to ask, is it not quick built, but is it well built? Is this something that comes from God? Is this something that is led by the Lord? Or is it just the eyes of man? Better to stay with Jesus. Better to stay with well built. Puts me in mind years back, when I was first starting out as a pastor, going back in the past here all the time, but when I was first starting out, I started in my first congregation, and I was very young and insecure, and while I would talk to the people, they would always mention to me a predecessor of mine, Pastor K. That was the first letter of his name, Pastor K. And you'd talk with folks and you'd hear Pastor K this, Pastor K that, Pastor K did this, he was over here and doing that, Pastor K was this. That's hard for a young man who's just getting started to hear all of that. So I finally asked one of my elders, and I said, what is this with Pastor K did this and Pastor K did that? And he thought for a moment and he said, well, Pastor K was obviously very popular, but if the people had to choose between Pastor K and the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus would have had to find another church. That's a danger, isn't it? Built on a different foundation. Built on something that is not of Christ, or building upon it something that is not of Christ. It's not about the people that you look to like the Corinthians did. It's not about whether something is shiny or wonderful to look at or impresses people. No, the question ultimately is not quick built, but well built. Is our foundation Jesus? Are we building upon Jesus? Do we remember that he took us as sinners, made us his children? Do we remember what he said? Do we remember the way that he showed us, the words that were spoken, the attitudes that are valued by God? And if so, then we know that it's not quick built. Instead, it's what it should be. It's well built because it's on Jesus. It has to do with Jesus. He's the foundation. He's the walls. He's the roof. He's the electricity. He's everything. And may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, may it keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen.